Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood. The Wahoo football team continued their winning ways by beating Duke last weekend 31-21 to notch their seventh win of the season. Now the Hoos are bowl qualified and preparing for a big trip this week to Florida to face those mean old nasty Seminoles on Saturday. And what time, Jim?
7:30.
Tonight we'll review Virginia's big home win, and we'll also preview and analyze the upcoming Florida State game. Also, hats off to Tony Bennett and the basketball team for being 2-0 at this point, as expected. But, you know, you've got to win the games that are on their schedule. We're glad that you've joined us.
That is absolutely the case. This is Hobbo. We have another terrific show lined up for you tonight. We will discuss the UVA football program, and in the second half hour, we'll talk a little hoop as well. But the first half hour, we'll be joined by former UVA defensive tackle and NFL player Ryan Keel. After that, we'll have a representative of the Bill Dudley Scholarship Foundation, Katie Hunter. It's all Tusky all the time tonight, with Katie being Michael's sister, but we kind of snuck that one in there with the married name. At any rate, we'll also, as we said, have Dan Bonner, my ex-teammate and analyst for Raycom, ESPN, CBS, talking about the Virginia basketball team, and it's an opportune time because I think he did the color for both of the Virginia games this past week. So we'll talk to him about Virginia hoops as well as the ACC and maybe even the national basketball situation. Dr. Michael Wind of Ortho Virginia will join us briefly tonight to talk about the injury report. And now the other Tusky, Michael, will tell you how to follow the show.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to log on to Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Yeah, give us a call tonight if you want to talk to any of our guests or just talk to the hosts and Michael, our analyst, and everything else. But Frank made reference to the fact another big victory for the Virginia football team, 7-3 after being 0-13 in November in recent years. All of a sudden, the Hoos are 2-0 in November and probably playing this weekend the biggest November game they've had in several years on the road in Tallahassee against Florida State. The odds makers are not showing us much love, but we'll talk about it throughout the evening. But I think Virginia's got a chance to get down there and win the game.
No doubt about it. I think this game is in play. I think it's been in play really for about a month and a half. Virginia's offensive line continues to dictate and allow Virginia to run the football as long as Virginia can run the football some. Certainly Michael Rocco is capable. He's got some excellent wide receivers, and they are delivering. They're coming through, and this past weekend a tight end, Mathis, caught a nice pass in the end zone for a touchdown, and Chris Bird made a tremendous catch near the sideline, did a nice tight rope, and scored as well. So opportunities present themselves, and I think Virginia is going to be tough to beat this Saturday.
Virginia continues to run the ball effectively. As you say, the offensive line has performed very well, and defensively, interesting, Duke only had 34 yards running the football last Saturday. Now, there were some
Shaky
moments in the secondary, which we may talk about as the show progresses. But nevertheless, 31-21 Virginia victory, number 7 on the campaign.
One thing that was not shaky back in the early 90s was the Virginia defensive line, anchored by players like Ryan Keel. And I understand Ryan is holding for us here. And let's do a quick intro. Ryan played football in high school at Walt Whitman High School up in Bethesda, Maryland. He became second-team All-ACC at Virginia, played some tremendous defense for Virginia back when teams found out that Virginia could get pretty tough. He went on to be drafted, I believe, by the 49ers, but ultimately ended up playing for the Redskins and the Browns and the Giants. And really, his tenure in the NFL was elongated, really, by he learned the skill how to be a long snapper. And we're going to talk about that a little bit with him. And his team, the Giants, back there, I want to say in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, they defeated the Patriots 17-14 in what was a pretty big upset. Anyway, Ryan was also heavily involved with the NFLPA, and he's now working for Under Armour, and we're going to get to all that once we get him on the show. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very excited to have you on the show tonight. It's been a while since
we've... Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're excited that you could join us. And thanks for carving out a little time.
Carving out. I noticed that we're approaching Thanksgiving. Frank's using those turkey analogies here already.
I'm hungry. I'm already hungry. Missing there's dinner right now.
And there's nothing wrong with that. A little turkey is not bad.
That's right. Ryan, in your career, both at Virginia, then as you played in the pros, one of the things that the Virginia coaching staff has been preaching is becoming a physical team. And Coach London has been preaching it left and right. Coach Reed has been, you know, banging the lectern. You know, it seems to me that finally with guys like Matt Conrath and Cam Johnson and Billy Schatz and all the others, it seems like Virginia's adopting that stance. Can you speak to that a little bit from your experience?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really neat to see. A lot of that, I think, has to do with the defensive switch to the 4-3. I mean, when I was back, I mean, it's crazy that I'm talking about, you know, I always thought the old guys used to talk about old stories, you know, but now I'm doing it. but back in the 90s, early 90s there, we had, you know, Rick Lance was running the defense with George, and we switched my freshman year, first year, with Frank Spazian. It's sort of 5-2 to a more aggressive 4-3 when Rick came in right after our redshirt freshman year. And you know, we just changed the mentality. And, we've, you know, you got to get the right horses in there to run it. But when you do and you get that sort of aggressive mindset of attacking, it really can blend into the entire scheme and really create a mindset that's, you know, aggressive, physical football. And it looks to me that, you know, I've actually watched a fair amount this year. I've been down to a few games and you know, they're really taking to that, and I think it's working out well. And, there's going to be some more bumps as they get the more players in and continue to evolve in the scheme. But I know this, by the time our fifth year, we had a bunch of real good players, and we were playing some pretty good defense week in and week out. So it's exciting to see.
Ryan, who were some of the other defensive linemen on the team with you when you played?
Mike Frederick was the left end. Myself, Mark Kirchbaum was the right tackle. Chris Slade was over on the right end.
Yeah.
So between the four of us, we had, oh, I think Chris played 10 years. I played 12. Mike played 8. And Mark got hurt our fifth year, broke his ankle. He was about the – he was the best out of all four of us, tell you the truth. He broke his ankle and only ended up playing maybe a year or two in the NFL. So we had a fair amount of – then we had guys, our backup guys were like John Harris and Dwayne Ashman, who ended up playing the league for 4 or 5 years each. And we were pretty stacked up. It's fun when I got into the NFL and you talk to other guys from other teams that we played, and you know, the coaches from the other teams always thought we were around forever because a lot of us started for 3 or 4 years, and we had a pretty good reputation. Of course, we had, you know, Potsy and Randy Neal and Jamie Sharper and Rondi Barber and Percy Ellsworth and all playing together. So we were pretty loaded up back then.
Yeah, I had a lot of guys that, of course, Potsy's still playing with the Steelers.
It's so amazing. That... He's amazing. He's
what
still
is this,
playing,
his 15th year, I believe?
Yeah, 15 or 16, yeah.
A lot
like
of high-quality players on that team, and I think that's what Coach London is moving toward, is just increasing the quality of the talent that he's attracting to Charlottesville.
I think any coach would tell you, if you get him in a private moment, they take high-quality, high-character players over, you know, the high-talent ego players any day of the week, you know. And that's the kind of guys that George recruited with all his great assistants. And that's, I think, hopefully we're getting – I mean, obviously talent helps, don't get me wrong. But you got to have the first things first, and that's, you know, character and caring about your teammates and caring about the school and quality and hard-working guys. That's where championships come from.
Well, I think, you know, Coach London is a character guy, so he's certainly going to want to recruit those kind of kids to his program. We're visiting with Ryan Keel, by the way, former UVA defensive tackle and NFL player as well. But, Ryan, did you see the Duke game either in person or on TV?
Oh, yeah. I watched on TV a fair amount of it, yeah.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the secondary. You know more about this than I do. Were those some blown assignments, or what happened to allow some of those Duke receivers to be running wide open in the secondary?
You know, it's hard to tell not being there, guys, but I would guess just by how open they were, it's blown. you know, it wasn't like they were getting beat, you know, one-on-one and, you know, saw a guy fall down or just get run by, which, again, comes with, you know, some multiple formations. Coach Cutcliffe down there at Duke has had a pretty good experience there in on offensive football in the SEC. So they probably blew a few. They got a few young guys and a few old guys back there, too. So they probably blew it, and, you know, it happens at times. And hopefully, again, as I talked about, you know, you're in year two of the system, you get to year three, and you get guys playing together. Those kind of things can get avoided.
All right, Ryan, one of the things that, you know, we've been watching develop is the sort of the synergy between the linebackers and the defensive line. And it would be it'd be a mistake if we didn't mention Jake Snyder, who's from Deep Run High School right here in town, and Nick Jenkins, because they've been playing just some good, tenacious football, along with Conrath and Johnson and the others. But the linebackers seem to have come much farther. You take Auzer Walcott, Aaron Taliaferro, Steve Greer, and Leroy Reynolds. Those four generally are getting the vast majority of the snaps. It seems to me that they're filling the holes much better now, and they're also their drops on pass plays. They seem to be in much better position. And is that still just a byproduct of the transition from the days of the 3-4 now moving to the 4-3?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. In my experience, yes. The 3-4 guys, I mean, you got to have – there's a reason not many NFL teams run a 3-4. The demands on a linebacker in a 3-4 are just tough. I mean, you got to be big enough to stand a guard up. You got to be able to run to cover, and then you got to be able to two-gap guys. So, to me, it's probably a result of the defensive line's playing well, which, you know, as Ruben would say back in the day, it all starts up front. And, you know, the D-line declares the gaps, and then the linebackers just play off that, and they know their gap. And if everybody gets in your gap, I mean, the holes get small, and then the linebackers can really fill if the D-line's squeezing gaps and in their gap. So that gets, too geeky on football-wise. But, I mean, that's really it. I mean, things are much more declared in a 4-3 than a 3-4. 3-4, everybody's helping everybody. You know, it's 50-50. You got two gaps, and everybody's got two gaps. And this way, everyone's got a gap, and you're held accountable for it. But it makes for a lot more, you know, decisive action. It's probably the easiest way to describe it.
All right, Ryan, we've got 1 minute before we go to break, and we'd like to carry you over the break for a minute or two, if we could.
Sure.
Ryan, just in this next minute, talk to us a little bit about the mindset, you know, for the defensive lineman, and how important is the defensive line going to be down in Tallahassee on Saturday night?
It's going to be everything. I mean, it's hard to underplay, at least in my opinion, and yeah, I'm biased, so I admit that, but how much the up front sets the tempo.
Yep.
And that's, standing guys up, knocking people back, you know, running through tackles, pressure on the quarterback, all that kind of stuff. If they can't block you up front, the secondary plays better and the linebackers play better. It's as simple as that, guys. It's not – it really is on the road in particular, tough place to play like Tallahassee. I personally hated going down there. but I was always hot and loud. But that's going to take, you know, that kind of effort, and you're probably going to need six up front, you know, four or two more at least, to rotate through and make sure everyone stays fresh and can play in the second half. But it all starts up front. That's really any game, but particularly on the road against a good team.
It's all about the trenches, as they say. But anyway, we're going to keep Ryan Keel through the break. We're going to go to our first break now. Stay with us. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Who's Talking.
All right, we're back. This is Frank with Hobbo. You're listening to Who's Talking. We've got Ryan Keel. Ryan, two quick questions, then we're going to have to jump. First question, Ryan, is I know you work for Under Armour today. Talk to us a little bit about what you do for Under Armour.
Do we still have Ryan? Yeah.
I think we lost Ryan.
We lost the connection.
All right.
Maybe it's the rain outside.
The rain outside washed him out.
Maybe we should go to Miss Katie here.
All right. We're gonna jump to Katie Tusky Hunter, who is on the board for the Bill Dudley Scholarship Foundation. Katie, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yeah, sorry. I think I trumped Ryan.
Well, that's quite all right. We're happy to have you.
So, yes, thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us a little bit about the goings-on of the scholarship, the Bill Dudley Scholarship Fund and Foundation.
Well, it's that time of year, and we are soliciting nominations currently for a senior high school player. We have emailed out to pretty much all of the area coaches, and we're just trying to make sure that we drum up interest in the scholarship. I have some exciting news tonight. We actually have been awarding a $4,000 scholarship for the past few years, and the board decided today that we're going to be able to up the scholarship to $5,000 for this coming year. So that's big news for us, and we're hoping that's going to get some more interest. We already have two nominations in from Hermitage and Manchester. And, you know, the scholarship background, obviously named after Bill Dudley. He absolutely loves his scholarship. He loves giving the award every year. We're not necessarily looking for a standout on the football team, but we are looking for someone who embodies the spirit of Bill Dudley, has great academic achievement, football achievement, sportsmanship, contribution to the team, really great leadership skills, as well as good extracurricular activities, community involvement, of course, as well as personal financial needs. So
let's
have some great nominees the past few years.
Absolutely. Let's clarify a few things, Katie. The foundation board is looking for nominations from area high school coaches and athletic directors for a senior football player, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And then tell everybody what happens then, and where should they send the nominations?
The nomination process is fairly easy. We do have a nomination form, and we require a letter from the nominee himself, as well as a recommendation letter from either the athletic director, football coach, or a teacher at the school. Everything, we're trying to do everything over email. We've come into the email age here, and Brian Davis is the president, so he's accepting all nominations. His email address is bdavis@kpmg.com. Again, it's bdavis@kpmg.com. So if anyone wants to get in touch with him directly, he has the forms. We are asking for all the nominations to be submitted by November 30th. At that point, the board will get together and vote, and we will have the winner and his family, his parents, come to the Dudley Award Dinner, which is going to be actually this year on Wednesday, December 7th. It's a great event. It's always a great time for the family and for the winner. They get to have exposure to area coaches who are there, as well as the top area farm college
Katie,
players.
It'll be held where this year?
It's going to be at the Hilton in Short Pop.
Lancaster. Are we sure she knows what she's talking about?
Excuse me?
That's brotherly love right there. Your younger brother wasn't sure you really knew all the facts.
He's obviously questioning your credibility here.
But
we trust everything you say.
Katie, I knew he was going to give me something.
Katie, we're going to have to bring you in the studio soon because this studio needs some love. All right.
I know. I could take it over.
All right. We might let you do that. all right. So the Bill Dudley Scholarship Foundation and area coaches and athletic directors should get in touch with Brian Davis at bdavis@kpmg.com.
Yes.
And nominations are due by November 30th.
Yes, and our website is BillDudleyScholarship.com. So I know, like I said, Bill just absolutely loves this scholarship, and we're proud to be a part of the foundation.
Katie, thank you so much, and we'll bring you back shortly, maybe in a couple of weeks, to sort of bring us back into focus, okay?
All right, I'd love to talk about some of the nominees.
All right, thank you very much. Have a great
night. Thank you.
I think we got Ryan back on the phone.
Ryan
Keel.
Ryan, you still there?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Technology, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I thought the gremlins had gotten a hold of you. All right. All right, so the two questions we were trying to ask you is, number one, tell us a little bit about what you do for Under Armour.
Yeah.
And then number two, we want to know your favorite moment as a Cavalier football player.
Oh, Lord.
Whichever you want to talk about first.
Yeah, Under Armour. Yeah, I always want to talk about Virginia football. Under Armour, I mean, what we're doing, I oversee a lot of professional sports at Under Armour, the marketing side. It includes athletes, various team deals at the pro level, different league deals across all the sports except basketball. So I'm pretty active and pretty involved and pretty busy guy. So, but it's a fun brand to be a part of and learning a lot. And hopefully we'll keep chopping wood here and continue to grow and turn it into something special.
Well, it's been a great story.
And your favorite moment is a Wahoo.
Oh, man, that's a tough – I mean, it's funny. I got a bunch of flood. You know, probably all the big wins we had and stuff like that. I mean, the Independence Bowl win we had to get us to 9 wins last game, you know, down there, that was truly special. Beating Virginia Tech was always fun.
you know, even coming up here to Maryland and beating them. You know, now, of course, I work with a lot of those guys. That was always fun, too. You know, just the guys. I mean, really, you need to think back. And I do want to take 1 second, guys. You know, I'm involved with the Virginia Athletic Foundation now, and I would be remiss not to, you know, getting back involved with the school and just remembering those, you know, now that I'm retired and sort of settled down, family and all, and just how much my wife was a scholarship athlete and how much Virginia means to our family and the sports and the people down there are just so fantastic. So, you know, I really truly believe, and I think you two guys can sense too, that at least in football and even in basketball, I think with Tony, I mean, we're coming. You know, we really are.
That's right.
I mean, we really truly are. And I think that anything, you know, the school is can always looking for supporters and fans and people who care about the school. And if you care about the school, get involved. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it.
Ryan, it's been great having you on, and we'd like to maybe get you to boomerang back and visit with us again down the road.
Anytime, guys, anytime. Hopefully, I'm going to try to make it to the bowl game, which will be fun. Hopefully, I don't know where we're going to end up, whether it's Charlotte or Nashville or somewhere else, but hopefully get down there.
Maybe the Orange Bowl.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad either.
We still got a shot at that. One last question.
Yeah.
Do any of the kids play lacrosse? Because I know your wife was quite a lacrosse player.
Yeah, she was pretty good. My oldest son's 9, and he plays. He plays them all. He plays lacrosse and ice hockey and flag football. I won't let him play tackle football just yet, but he plays them all, and he's a real good athlete, and we're real proud of all three of them. So they're doing good in school, and we make sure the school comes first. If you don't do the homework, we don't go out on the field. So that's just sort of the rule.
All right, Ryan, we do thank you for your time tonight. Ryan Keel, former Wahoo defensive tackle, and we also thank Katie Hunter, who joined us in that segment as well.
Thanks, guys.
We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Michael Wind and my former teammate Dan Bonner joining us. Stay with us.